Good morning, CTK. Good. How are we excited about this morning as we continue in our storyline series? How many people have been blessed by this series? Raise your hand. Amen. Last week, as we continue our storyline series, last week, Pastor Frank, he spoke on how David mishandled the ark, and because of his mishandling, someone died. But in that same story, we see what happened when David seeks the Lord, and when he handles the ark the way the Lord wanted the ark to be handled, how he sees success. Now, we all know the story of David. We know that David was a man after God's own heart. But as we continue with this storyline series, we'll see that David had to learn from many mistakes he's made in his life. How many people can say amen to that? David had a heart that wanted to do great things for the Lord, but he didn't always go about those things in the way the Lord wanted him to. And because of that, David had to go through many difficult situations and learn from some tough lessons. If you can write this down, it's a little point here. It says it's very important for us as believers to make sure that all that we do or all that we think we should do must be blanketed in prayer. We don't ever want to do anything in our own will and in our own strength. We always want to go before the Lord in prayer so he can lead and direct us and guide us in what we need to do, because that's where we'll see success. You will always see success if you seek the Lord. Amen? So today we're going to read another story in the life of David where David has a plan in his heart, but the Lord changes those plans. So this morning I'm going to ask you, how many people have a physical Bible here? Okay. How many people have it on their phone? All right, good. So go on to get your phones out, and we're going to go to 1 Chronicles 17. I'm going to do a little bit of reading today, so we're going to read verse 1 to 15. Amen? Let me know. Raise your hand when you have it. Just let me know. Okay. I got one. I got Holly over there. She has it. Anybody else have it? We ready? Okay. 1 Chronicles 17 says, "After David was settled in his palace, he said to Nathan the prophet, 'Here I am living in a house of cedar, while the ark of the covenant of the Lord is under a tent.' Nathan replied to David, 'Whatever you have in mind, do it, for God is with you.' But that night the word of God came to Nathan saying, 'Go tell my servant David, this is what the Lord says. You are not the one to build a house for me to dwell in. I have not dwelled in a house from the day I brought Israel up out of Egypt to this day. I have moved from one tent site to another, from one dwelling place to another. Wherever I have moved with all the Israelites, did I ever say to any of the leaders in whom I commanded to shepherd my people, why have you not built me a house of cedar? Now then tell my servant David, this is what the Lord Almighty says. I took you from the pasture, from the tending the flock, and appointed you ruler over my people Israel. I have been with you wherever you have gone, and I have cut off all your enemies from before you. Now I will make your name like the names of the greatest men on earth. And I will provide a place for my people Israel, and will plant them so they can have a home of their own and no longer be disrupted. Wicked people will not oppress them anymore as they did at the beginning.'" Verse 10, it says, "And have done ever since the time I appointed leaders over my people Israel, I will also subdue all your enemies. I will declare to you that the Lord will build a house for you." Verse 11, it says, "When your days are over and you go to be with your ancestors, I will raise up your offspring to succeed you, one of your own sons, and I will establish his kingdom. He is the one who will build a house for me, and I will establish his throne forever. I will be his father, and he will be my son. I will never take my love away from him, as I took it away from your predecessor. I will set him over my house and my kingdom forever. His throne will be established forever." And verse 15 says, "Nathan reported to David all the words of this entire revelation." That's a lot, right? So let's break this down. You're probably like, okay, Pastor Jason, what does this all mean? So I'm going to give you a little literal breakdown here. So David is living in this extravagant house, So how I think his house looks, it has a jacuzzi, has a hot tub, has elevators, has a basketball court, has everything in this house that you would ever want or you would need. So he is sitting in this literal great mansion, and he's with the prophet Nathan, and he's like, Nathan, you know what? I live in this extravagant house. And the scripture says, it says, I live in this house made of cedar. Now, cedar was, you couldn't have cedar in a regular house. So this is, the scriptures are explaining and letting us know how extravagant this house that David was living in. So David is looking at all that he has, and he's like, I live in this extravagant house, but the Ark of the Covenant is living under a tent. And it bothered him, because he's like, who am I to have this great thing? And the very representation of God is under a tent. So he's talking with Nathan, and he says, Nathan, I want to build the Lord a house. And listen to what Nathan says. The prophet Nathan says to David, do all that is in your heart, for the Lord is with you. So let's look at that. Let's read it again. Do all that is in your heart, for God is with you. Nathan said this to God, because it seemed good and reasonable. What could be wrong with building a temple? You could be sitting here and saying, okay, Jason, what's the problem here? It's not, David wants to do a great thing for God. He wants to build him a house. He wants to build something for the Spirit of God to dwell in. But here is a quote that I heard while I was studying. It says, it is of the utmost importance that we should ever test our desires, even the highest and the holiest of them, by his will. As we read the scripture, we see that Nathan just said to David, do whatever's in your heart. Never, ever communicating with the Lord. Never asking or praying or seeking the Lord. He just told David, because it sounded a great, yeah, go ahead, do it. God's with you. You have the favor of God. You have the blessing of God in your life. But as we go on into the story, we see that that's not what God wanted from David. So then Nathan leaves David, and then the Lord speaks to him. And this is what it says. But it happened that the night that the word of the Lord came to the prophet Nathan. He says, go tell my servant David, thus says the Lord, you shall not build me a house to dwell in, for I have not dwelled in a house since the time I brought people out of Egypt. So he's explaining to the prophet. He's like, listen, I know David has this zeal and he has this heart to build me something, but I don't need that. I have been fine from where I started to now. And then he said, I have gone from tent to tent in one tabernacle to another tabernacle. And then look at verse 6. He asks the question. He says, wherever I have moved, have I asked any judges of who I commanded to shepherd my people, saying to them, build me a house of cedar? So he's like, Nathan, he asked the question, he's like, have I asked those things? Is there anywhere in the history that you see where any of my leaders that I asked for to build me a house? He tells Nathan, he says, please tell David that what he's trying to give me, I don't need, and that's not what I want him to do. I don't want him to build anything for me. And as I was studying this, I was thinking about how many people had jobs where they had secret Santas? Raise your hand. I don't like secret Santas because it's awkward, because it's like people want to give you a gift, and it's just like you got to be like, oh, thank you so much. I can't wait to use this. And you know you got to repent after that because you know you're not going to use it. So it's just like, what am I going to do with this gift? But they want to give you this gift because they think that's what you need or what you want, but I'm never going to use it. It's just going to go somewhere. But that's basically what David was trying to do for God. He was trying to give God something that he didn't want or he didn't need. So then the conversation switches when God is speaking to Nathan. And can we all look at the 7th verse? It starts off and it says, he tells Nathan, thus says the Lord of hosts. Now, when before that he said, thus says the Lord, but now he's changing the character and the nature of God and saying, thus says the Lord of hosts. The Lord of hosts It refers to the name of Yahweh, the self-existent, redemptive God. He wanted David to know that it was Yahweh, God who always keeps his promises, that was speaking to him. He speaks and he says, David, tell David, I took you from the sheepfold, from following the sheep, to being ruler over all Israel. So he's explaining to Nathan to tell David, look at where I brought you from. You started off tending sheep, and now you are the king of Israel. Then he says, I have been with you wherever you have gone. I have cut off all your enemies, and I have given you a great name. And then he goes on, he says, and when it's time for you to be with your fathers or your ancestors, meaning David, when you pass away, I will set up your seed, and after you, he will build me a house. Now, in the first service, I didn't really get deep into this. The reason why David wasn't allowed to build the temple. The reason why, as we're reading the scriptures, is because David had too much blood on his hand. And God wanted the person or the man to build the temple to be a man of peace. So because of that, David was not allowed to build the temple because he was a man of war. So that's just a little tidbit in there for you. But then he said to him, I will establish him as his, I will be his father, and he will be my son, and my mercy will never leave him. And I will establish him in the house, and in my kingdom, and in his throne shall be established forever. That is the promise of David. So David, the Lord flips the script on David. He says, No. You wanted to build something for me, but that's not what I want. I want to build something in you. And what I build in you is going to outlast you, and it's going to go to your seed, and it's going to go to his seed, and it's going to be forever and ever. Isn't that a great and awesome promise? That's what God wants to do in us. He wants to build something in us that outlasts us. He wants something that can go from generation to generation. The Lord didn't want something temporary. He wanted to build something that will last forever. He reminds David of where he's taking him. And also, after he tells him that, he tells him of the great future he has. And not only for him, but for his seed. So as I was preparing my message, I was thinking about a time when I was speaking to my grandfather. So my grandfather was a preacher. His grandfather was a preacher. So there's a lineage there. And I remember talking to him, and he told me a story when I was a young kid that I would put on his coat and grab his Bible, and I would pretend to be preaching in the mirror. You know, a little kid just mimicking what his grandfather did. But as I was studying this, I'm like, oh, my God, there's a lineage there of the faithfulness that started with my great-grandfather. And then I was blessed because on Father's Day, I had my son up here. He was leading worship with me. And I was just like, look at God. Look what you're doing. You're creating a lineage of faithfulness that started way before I was even here. And I was also thinking about our senior pastor. You know, his father passed away last year. But now Pastor Craig is here. And now his children are having children. And just to see the legacy and the legacy and the dynasty of their family continuing to continue. And that's what God wants to do in us. As families, as fathers, as mothers, we want to build something that's greater than just us. I don't want the blessing and the favor to die with me. I want it to go to my children, and I want it to go to their children. I want God to do something that's greater than I can ever have. My heart's desire is that the favor and the blessing of the Lord wouldn't just be on me, but that it would continue to follow my children and my children's children. David wanted to live a life of thanksgiving. He had such a passion to build God's house. But God was saying, no, I want to do something greater. And that greater is, I want to build something in you. I want to build a lineage of faithfulness. I want to build a dynasty. I want your seed to be great. And I'm going to be with him wherever he goes. And we all know that Jesus comes from that lineage of David. And as we come to Christ, we become part of that great lineage that happened in 1 Chronicles. Church, God is building us into a spiritual house. And the foundation stone always has to be on Christ. So what happens to us when we live a life of faithfulness? I see so many families represented this morning. And as we were worshiping, I really felt the Lord wanting to do something with families this morning. Families are under attack. And I feel like the Lord really wants to do something this morning. So I'm going to ask right now, if you have your family with you, could you just come to the front? Come on, just come on. And really, we're all family of Christ, so everybody come to the front. Come on. I look at families and I look at lineages. I see parents that are faithful to the call of Christ. And we want to see our children walk in that faithfulness. I want to see my children. I want them to know who God is, that he's a keeper of his word, that he's faithful to his word. And I know there's many others in here that feel the same way. So this morning, I want you to just lift your hands and family, just grip hands together. We're grateful for the families that are in this house. We're grateful for the lineage of faithfulness, God. God, we pray this morning, Lord, that you would build something in our house, Lord. Lord, as we continue to serve, Lord God, and we continue to seek your face, we just don't want to just be churchgoers, Lord God. We want to have fellowship and communion with you, God. Would you build a legacy, God? Lord, I pray when I'm dead and gone that my children would know who you are. I pray that their children would know who you are, God. That they would know that you are faithful. That you will never leave us and you will never forsake us, God. I pray for those children right now, Lord. Just pray over them, Lord God. That they would get in the word and get to know you more and more. That they would build a relationship with you on their own, God. And that, God, your name would be great. That you would build something. That you would build an outstanding legacy, Lord God, in the lives of those. You see your people in this congregation this morning, God. Help us to continue to be faithful, God. Help us to serve as families, Lord God. Help us to get in the word together as families. Help us to pray together, Lord God. And that this would continue, that it would go on our children and our children's children and their children, God. We lift up and we pray all over the families that are represented in this place, Lord. The families that are to come out of the children that are here, Lord God. Would you birth and create something even now, God? And Father God, we just bless your holy name this morning. Come on, just lift your hands. Just begin to worship him right where you are. Father God, we are grateful, God. We are grateful, Lord God. Create a lineage right now, Lord God. There's preachers in the room. There's evangelists in the room, Lord God. Mighty men, mighty women in this room right now, God. I pray over every parent in this room. It's not easy being a parent in this generation, God. Help us to teach our kids how to stay faithful, how to trust and love God in a society that's such against it. Help us, Lord God, to teach them more than just coming into a seat in a building. Help us to teach them to have a relationship with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Father God, you see every hand raised. You see every family represented, God. I speak blessing over their household. I speak favor over their household. I speak favor over their lineage. I speak favor over their children. I speak the blessing and the favor of the Lord over their lives this morning. So, Father God, we love you. We thank you. We honor you and praise you. In the mighty and precious name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Can we just celebrate right now? Can we just put our hands together this morning? God is doing a great thing in this storyline, sisters, as we go from reading the story of David. But God wants to do something in us this morning. He wants to build something in every individual here. We just need to continue to stay faithful. Continue to stay faithful. Continue to serve him. Continue. And for the youth here, you may not understand. When I was growing up at church, I didn't understand what the heck was going on. I was a prodigal son. I was a prodigal child. But because of the faithfulness of praying mothers, praying fathers, even when I went away from it, I was able to come back. If you train a child in the way he should go, when he grows old, he'll never depart from it. I want to encourage a parent in here who may have a child that you don't know if they're going to serve the Lord. I'm telling you, if you train them and you continue to stay faithful, you will see God move upon their lives. Amen. All right, you guys can go back to your seats right now. God is good. Amen. I'm going to ask the prayer partners to come to the front, please. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. As we close out this morning, we do have prayer partners here. If you need prayer, or if you want to bring your family up here and you just want to have someone pray over your household one more time, we have prayer partners in the front. If we can all lift our hands, Father God, we're so grateful for what you did this morning. God, continue to create a long-living legacy in us, Lord God. We're an open vessel, Lord God. Let our foundation be on Christ and Christ alone. So, Father God, we love you. We thank you. We honor you and praise you. In the mighty, precious name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. You guys are dismissed. You guys have a great 4th of July and be blessed. We can't wait to see you next week. And next week we have our youth pastor, Kyle Hearn. He will be preaching with a special guest. So let's prepare our hearts for next week. God bless.